This is Reception Perception, the show. James Coe and Matt Harmon.
Let's talk about the Baltimore Ravens. This is a weird division, Matt, because it's one of the very, very few divisions in football, maybe the only one, I don't know, maybe, that has literally zero exciting first and second year wide receivers. Zero.
Yeah.
Zay is probably the most exciting young player in the AFC North, and he's going to that pivotal third year. And again, like it's a very strange division in that way that they just don't have exciting like rookies or sophomores in 2025. But Zay might be the closest. He's a third year player. Does he take that, you know, stereotypical third year leap? Can he develop into a true number one? Because I don't think I'm talking out of turn here. I like Zay Flowers, but I just, in the last year, I think he had a good season. Mm-hmm. I don't think we would bank that as, oh yeah, Zay Flowers is truly a true number one wide receiver. I think he's a really top of the line number two right now, but can he make that leap and really carry a passing offense?
Yeah, I think the player that he is right now, I agree with you, is like more of a really high, like a high quality number two. He's like maybe what Jalen Waddle would look like as a top target on another team. But I don't want to say that to discredit who he is, because he's a good player. He actually feels like a very under-discussed player, you know, because he's not one of these high-quality number twos on another team. You know, like what would Devonta Smith look like on another team? What would Jalen Waddle? What would T. Higgins, you know?
Sure.
George Pickens, what would he look like as number one on another team? Which is weird because he plays for one of the best teams in the NFL, one of the best offenses in the NFL, and he's had two good seasons back-to-back, but he just feels a little under-discussed because he's not like, yeah, in that group that is – really, you know, awesome. I think he's a very good player. And I think he actually did take like maybe a small step forward last year. He's actually been incredible against zone coverage in back-to-back seasons. 85% in year one, 84.2% in year two.
Wow.
Some of that is boosted by the fact that he sees a lot of underneath targets. There's no question about that. But he can also rip it downfield, man. Like really high success rates on posts, digs, outs, corners, nines. Really took a step forward, I think, on curl routes last year, 91.3%. He will still get beat up a little bit on slants and some of the more routine, like quicker routes, because he's a smaller guy. It is what it is. At the same time, though, his success rate versus man went from, it was kind of in the same range, 71.7% as a rookie, 72% the year before. But his success rate versus press did go up from 62.9% as a rookie to 70.8%. So he's a good player. There's no question about that. I think for him to take the next step, he probably has to cut out some of the mistakes. And he's a guy that was a mistake prone player as a prospect. I highlighted that drops, contested catch mistakes, maybe trying to do a little bit too much as an after catch player at times instead of just getting uphill. I think those are definitely some issues, some areas where he can grow. That's been part of his game in the three seasons I've charted him, dating back to his prospect profile. So that's probably the area that, like, for him to become more of like a true number one, he has to become more reliable and less mistake prone, but definitely a really good separator and somebody that I think is very undercredited for what he can do on deeper outbreaking routes.
I think I'd like to see him win just straight up go balls over the top in contested situations. And maybe that's just not possible because of his size and all that kind of stuff. But he did post a great success rate on the nine, 63% success rate on the nine, 80% on the corner, 71% on the post. To your point, Matt, like there's nothing this guy can't do deep downfield to win. I mean, he's separating on these plays deep downfield. It just does it result in, and this goes back to your whole Elijah Moore conversation of, okay, he's a good separator, but he's small. Zay Flowers, great separator downfield, but he's small. Can that translate into Lamar throwing him a deep ball and him going to go get it? I think that would probably, to me, elevate him into that conversation of, okay, we're entering the conversation of top 15 wide receiver in the NFL.
Right. 6.3% drop rate, big step back in contested situations, 55.6% contested catch rate last year. That's not good. That's something that does have to improve. No question about that.
That's got to get up over 70%.
Oh yeah, that's definitely got to get better there. So we'll see. But again, I overall do really like Zay Flowers, and he's not somebody that I want to rule out. Like there's an improvement from him at some point. You know, like at some point he really takes a step forward. He becomes more of a like less mistake prone player. I think we're really too quick to say, okay, 2 years in, this is who this guy is.
Oh, you know, sure.
Like this is who he is. I think the strengths can continue to be the strengths of his game. Like I said, 89th percentile success rate versus zone last year. That is a really, really good number. Like definitely maybe boosted a little bit by the underneath stuff, but still good number. I like the way he works zone coverage over the middle of the field. And his 72% success rate versus man is 70th percentile as well. And that's where against man coverage, he really shines on deeper out routes, corner routes, stuff like that. So definitely a guy that I think can take a step forward. I'm really interested in the DeAndre Hopkins of this all, because where is he going to line up and how is he going to, how is he going to sort of allow these other guys to move around the field more, Zay Flowers included, because Flowers, is primarily a flanker, 58.7% sample snaps outside. I think he can maybe take some X reps. He could certainly be more of a vertical slot player, but because this offense has been so 12 personnel heavy, there's not a lot of slot options available. And I actually think both Zay Flowers and especially Rashad Bateman, as I'll talk about here in a second, could really benefit from more reps from the slot.
I'm just going to say this. I know they've been 12 personnel heavy. If they continue on that path, I think it's a huge mistake. You know, look, I love Mark Andrews. Mark Andrews is a Hall of Famer. Okay. Mark Andrews is great. I love Mark Andrews. He's done. I mean,
done.
To continue to throw this guy out there, man, it's hurting the team. I don't understand. You know, this is the crazy thing, man. They gave Isaiah Likely pretty good money. You know, it's like, I don't know. I mean, they offered him pretty good money, reportedly, Isaiah Likely, right? So again, I don't know. You go pick up DeAndre Hopkins. Like, I'm not saying take Andrews completely off the field, but let's deploy him more sparingly and in situations where, all right, you need to go get a third and six, and you got Mark Andrews out there, and obviously Lamar loves Mark Andrews. Okay, that's great. Let's keep him out there. But to run a heavy 12 personnel set over and over and over again, to me, feels like a mistake from Baltimore. But that being said, Matt, can we talk about this juxtaposition between DeAndre Hopkins and Rashad Bateman? Because Hopkins needs to play, or has primarily played, as an outside X receiver. He's moved around the formation a little bit over the last, maybe year and a half or so. But Rashad Bateman has, again, been almost like exclusively an outside X receiver. Does Hopkins allow Bateman to kind of sort of move around the formation a little bit more? And the real question is, can he move around the formation more?
I am very conflicted on this whole thing, because on the one hand, well, first of all, I think you're a little harsh on Mark Andrews. Definitely in decline. I don't know about done. Also, Isaiah Likely's hurt to start the season. He might miss games into the year with an injury, which is why I think they didn't get that contract done. So, at one point, I believe Todd Monken, the offensive coordinator, said that, having Hopkins in the building makes me want to play more 11 personnel. But then he also in the same breath said, yeah, but Charlie Kolar, our third tight end, I kind of also view him as a starter. So this team loves this. This team is another one. They're not quite Arthur Smith level, but they do love their tight ends. So I'm conflicted on the Bateman Hopkins thing, because on the one hand, Hopkins last year, and this is of course over two teams, right? He played for both the Titans and the Chiefs, but in his reception profile, he was outside on 75.4% of his sample snaps. He was on the line of scrimmage on 77.7%, which is the most he's taken since 2019, his final year with the Houston Texans. And
that's a surprise.
When the Chiefs got Hopkins, I thought to myself, okay, well, maybe they're going to, use, because Rashee Rice has been done at that point. You know, he's a guy that I think they could have moved into, like maybe they're going to move him in the slot a little bit more to get him more against zone coverage, because his man coverage stuff is definitely in decline, but he's still like a smart, savvy player. he's been almost, but then he was still almost exclusively an X, because you look at the rest of the Chiefs receivers and they don't have any like normal receivers. They still don't really have any normal receivers as we head in here to 2025. They still don't have like a guy who could just like be normal and line up. I'm so sick of this. Like, just get one guy that could line up on the outside and win against man coverage. Hopkins used to be that guy. He's not that guy anymore, but that's kind of who he had to be, like, as a big bodied guy for Kansas City. So I do think, like, in on the one hand, I would like to see Hopkins move around and maybe be, I don't think he's gonna be a full time player anyways, or get a lot of targets, but just show up in critical moments and, you know, win a quick slant and curl, because he actually still had really good success rates on slants and curls, and just convert a key third down here and there, because he's still got really good ball skills, tracks it well, hands, the whole deal. He hasn't lost that. And like I said, he can quickly separate on slants and curls. Ran those routes at pretty high volume last year and had good success rates. He doesn't threaten you vertically at all at this point.
Right.
But that's really all Baltimore needs. So can he do that from the X receiver position is a question, because Rashad Bateman, look, people know I love Rashad Bateman. That is one of my guys. We'll always love Rashad Bateman. And among wide receivers with 40 plus receptions last year, James Coe, Rashad Bateman led that group of players with a first down or a touchdown on 77.8% of his receptions. Just ahead of AJ Brown. Like, he was super effective at moving the chains and creating big plays last year. He had a 40% explosive catch rate. And that is all while, James, taking just 7.7% of his snaps from the slot, which was easily dead last among this group of guys with 40 plus receptions. The other guys, nobody else is in single digits. Nobody else is under 10%. The guys that are close to him are like Quentin Johnston, Romeo Doubs, Kayshon Booty, DK Metcalf, Cortland Sutton, you know? So it's a lot of like true X's, sacrificial X's. And I just think Bateman definitely can play more slot. He played some slot in college, is such a good route runner, such a good separator. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see him move around a little bit more. So again, I'm a little bit conflicted on the Hopkins. Like, he's a guy that could move around a little bit more. Bateman could move around a little bit more, but I think they can actually help each other, because they can do different things at the X receiver position. So I still hold out a lot of hope for Bateman to have a really nice year this year, and definitely more of like a consistent producer instead of just explosive plays.
This is a team that they are so reliant on the health of both Zay Flowers and Rashad Bateman. If either one of those two guys gets injured, this team is in trouble. Nobody else can get vertical other than Rashad Bateman, and they just need the, again, multi-skilled versatility of Zay Flowers. He adds, you know, dynamic playmaking after the catch, and out of the slot on the flanker. He's their do-it-all wide receiver. If either one of those guys gets banged up, this passing offense withers away and dies, you know. So it's they're very heavily reliant on those two guys, because when you look at the rest of the roster, Matt, there's nobody else that can step up and play either one of those roles. Like, nobody else can get vertical. Nobody else can give you that after the catch and just, you know, multi-skill versatility of Zay Flowers. They just don't have that guy.
They don't. And I think Bateman and Flowers, like, the talent level is really close between those two guys. Like, it would not shock me if either one of them led the team in receiving yards. I think obviously we'll talk about it in a second, but Zay Flowers is like the odds on favorite. He probably should be, because he's just going to his third year and maybe there's another step, but Bateman's really good. He took a big step from 2023 and 2024 in terms of a vertical receiver, where like his success rates in 2023 were really good, especially against press coverage, which is why he plays so much X, but still, like, he was much better on vertical plays last year. I just think hopefully somebody else can, you know, become a clear depth guy. Tez Walker, you know, was a guy they took in the fourth round, was a pure project player, but maybe he could give them some vertical reps at times, because that was kind of the guy that he was built to be. But man, he did have rough, it was a rough prospect in terms of the charting. So definitely somebody that I think is going to take some time to get going here. But yeah, otherwise, like, it's not a team that is flush with wide receiver options. That's for sure.
Zay Flowers last year cracked 1,000 yards. Good for him. His over-under this year set at 900.5 yards. It's a really, really good line. I don't have a real beat on that one. But we've got a new segment here on Reception Perception. It's called The Picks segment. It's brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. We're in the AFC North. Let's talk about player props here, Matt Harmon. Rashad Bateman, his line, Zay Flowers is at 900.5. Rashad Bateman is at 550.5. What say you? Over under on Rashad Bateman, 550.
Gee, I wonder where I'm going to go. I wonder where I'm going to go with this one. First segment here. Look, Bateman beat this last year, right? Bateman beat this last year. So I think there's room to grow. 756 yards last season on only 45 receptions. He was really good on those explosive plays. But we know this from Reception Perception. We know the route running is really good with him. He's a really strong technician. In 2023, he had a 78.4% success rate versus press, and he was better last year than in 2023. He's always been a strong route runner, and the explosive ability returned to his game last year. So I just think there's more for Bateman to offer as a player. I think he can grow, and the fact that he did all of that while taking just 7.7% of his snaps from the slot, if he's moved around a little bit more, gets himself some more layups, I will just take a bet on a guy at this low of a yardage total here. It's so low. We know he's a talented player based on his charting. We know he's a detailed player. And I'm taking this bet while tethering myself to one of the best quarterbacks in the league. A guy that is in everybody's rankings should be top three, is a two-time MVP. And by the way, not for nothing, at times in their NFL careers together, I think Bateman and Lamar haven't always been on the same page. There has been some chemistry issues. But man, you saw last year when Lamar got into scramble drill situations, he was looking for Bateman. He was looking for number seven, and they made a lot of those big plays that were explosive receptions on off-scheduled plays. So man, if we could take a step forward there, I think we could beat this number by a lot. I think we can even beat the 756 that he posted last season. So I really like Bateman this year as somebody to take another step forward.
If you are wondering why the line is the line, Vegas is obviously pretty smart. Bateman has been below this line in three of his four seasons in the NFL. Prior to 756 being his career high in year number four, his rookie season, he had 515. But much of that was predicated on the fact that foot injuries have really hampered him throughout his career. In 2024, Matt, it felt like, okay, look, in 2022, obviously the foot was a big issue. 2023, it felt like, and just watching him play, I thought he played a little tentative in his return from his foot injury, right? In 2023, 2024 felt, okay, this is the guy that we saw even from his rookie year or collegiately. This is the explosive big play guy that we saw in Rashad Bateman in 2024. So I'm with you. I think if he stays healthy in 2025, why can't he get to 1,000 yards? I think he'll be a lot closer to 1,000 than he'll be to 550, bro.
Yeah, I mean, I think FanDuel is baking in the risk of injuries, which is totally fair. Totally fair, obviously, based on history. But I think underselling the who he was as a prospect and who he's turning back into, because you know sometimes it is the year after the year. You mentioned 2023, he's getting his feet, he's getting himself back into shape, he's working it back in there, but he became like a productive player for this team last year. And I do think like last year was about reestablishing himself as an every down starter, somebody that Lamar could count on. So like this could be the year after the year.
After the year,
you know, and hey, look, they keep giving him contract extensions as somebody that they really like. So I'm definitely excited for Bateman. I agree with your take. I think he'll be closer to it. I don't know if he'll hit 1,000 just because they're still going to run that football. They got Derrick Henry, Lamar runs the whole deal. They got all those tight ends, but I think that they can. I think he will be closer to 1,000 than he will be to 500.
All right. DK Metcalf, we're looking at a touchdown prop here from FanDuel of 6.5 touchdowns, over under on 6.5 touchdowns for DK Metcalf in the year 2025.
Yeah, I wanted to highlight this one because I'm too freaked out by the Steelers offense and just the whole deal with to take the yards or anything like that. But, you know, Metcalf has beat 6.5 in all but two of his pro seasons. He had 5 last year while only playing 15 games and being a little banged up. And I mentioned this when we talked about Rodgers and DK. The one thing I'm confident in is that he's going to get peppered with slants. You can't bet this on FanDuel, obviously, but I would bet, I would bet that he gets like 3 touchdowns at least just on slants alone.
I love it.
So if all I'm confident, if all I'm confident in the Rodgers and DK connection is slants, I think I'm getting 3 goal line slants, right? Just immediate DK press man situation. Boom. Rodgers hits him. Maybe we get 1 fade in there. Okay, now we're up to 4. And give me a couple go route touchdowns in there. Boom. Got me to 7. So I'm only confident in like I'm only confident in the goes and the slants, but I think I can get myself to 7 touchdowns just on those alone. So probably terrible justification, but I the fact that I can give myself like a 3 touchdown floor on just press man slant reps.
I only
need but 4 more scores somewhere along the way.
Okay. By the way, this is not for nothing, but I just wanted to highlight the passing ineptitude of Pittsburgh last year. George Pickens and first of all, there was only 8 passing. There was 7 touchdowns, 9 touchdowns between George Pickens, Calvin Austin, and Van Jefferson last year. 9. That's it. Between those 3 wide receivers. Of those 3, George Pickens, Calvin Austin, Van Jefferson, people will be disgusted to know that Calvin Austin had 4 touchdowns and George Pickens had 3. That's not good.
Dude, they since the 2021 season, the Steelers rank 30th in passing touchdowns since 2021 in total. They ranked since 2022 32nd. In passing touchdowns. So not a lot of touchdowns to go around in Pittsburgh, but I guess we're hoping that reverses course this season. If we're going to get to 7 TDs for DK Metcalf.
Yeah. All right. So there you go. That was once again, that was the pick segment brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. All right. So there you go. That's the show. We're running just a little bit long. We're getting used to this new timing. Right, getting used to some new timing here with our sponsored segments and all that kind of stuff, man. But here we are. We're really happy with it. If you guys would do us a huge favor, obviously go to the website. If you're not a subscriber over there, you're missing out on a ton of great information, not only from Matt Harmon, Corey Kinnon, and myself. I've got some running back charting up there right now as well. So there's a lot of really, really great information on receptionperception.com. If you've stayed with us this long, we love you. If you would like and subscribe to the podcast as well, leave a review, 5-star review anywhere you guys get your podcast. That would be very helpful for us as well. Anyways, we got to get the hell out of here. For Matt Harmon, I'm James Coe. We'll see you. But remember, it's never too late to chase your dreams. All right. Peace.